Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You are now listening live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Elagun Owoye Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, evolutionary, revolutionary, universal healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is truly and indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. It is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, my works along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding, the place from where I begin, the place from where I realize and crystallize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is. Ashe. Today is Wednesday, October 18th, 2017, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally, from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Thai Potions and Hoodoo Central, Black Hawk Voodoo, in this legendary, historic, beautiful, and most enchanted city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist hoodoo obeah life path and journey, passing down that great obeah stick along with the knowledge of the life-giving healing herbs, roots, plants, rituals, spirits, and minerals. I'm always humbled and honored and greatly appreciative of those who join me here at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes here on Blog Talk Radio. My live listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. If you have a question, comment, or request, please do press the number one on your telephone keypad, and I will be more than happy to allow you into the conversation. Also, be mindful that I can be reached by way of my website virtually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and that is www.houseofthedivineprince.com, www.houseofthedivineprince.com. And of course, my direct and personal email for requests and appointment consultations is divineprince@houseofthedivineprince.com, divineprince@houseofthedivineprince.com. All is truly and indeed a blessing. We have been discussing sacred geometry, sacred math, sacred numerology, sacred spaces. Today is our conversation. Many spiritualists, pagans, practitioners of magical and ritual-based ceremonial practices embrace the idea that the universe is enchanted, that even the most mundane and ordinary elements of nature are at least potentially pregnant with spiritual power and possibility. In Yoruba, we call that Ashe. Taken to its pantheistic and monistic extreme, paganism celebrates all space, all nature, as sacred or holy. ATR, traditional African-based systems, indeed believe and teach that all nature is voodoo, thus all nature is sacred and holy in its right space, in its right application. But within that framework of overall immanence, particular sites or points within the natural world are revered as places of special power and worthy of reverence. The rivers, the streams, the oceans, the lakes, the forest, the fields, the, I can't remember the word, starts with a P, the pastoral lands where we get our herbs from are all sacred ground to voodoo, are all sacred ground to Ifa. And even in a more modern complex, we have man-made structures that now contain a vibration, an ashe, an energy that lends it to the sacred. We acknowledge cemeteries. We acknowledge the tombs of particular important people in our lives and in our past. Marie Laveau is a prominent figure here in New Orleans who is revered in spirit, revered in voodoo, and of course her tomb as well as the tombs of her family and those associated with her are given reverence and veneration. Stonehenge, Angkor Wat, the pyramids of Egypt, Machu Picchu, the Pantheon, the sacred great pyramid mounds. All over the world there are numerous sites of ancient ceremonial and religious significance that remain today as mysteries and the testimonies of their prehistoric and ancient power and spiritual connection is often long lost to us. Spiritualists in particular often look to such venerable monuments for empowerment, inspiration, energy, if you will, in the continuing quest to revive and recreate polytheistic, goddess-centered practices, earth-based practices, and of course, voodoo, and the reverence and understanding of the mysteries latent in the powers within nature itself. Such human-made sites are often subject to a variety of different interpretations. Some are burial grounds, like St. Louis Cemetery, number one, like Lafayette Cemetery, and the many other sacred burial grounds that exist, not only within our own city, but within your city, wherever you are listening from. Others appear to be great observatories. Still others have a clear religious or ceremonial representation, such as churches and temple spaces. Prehistoric sites are often the subject of imaginative speculation, as different theorists offer their interpretation as to the original or ultimate meaning and purpose of these sites. Machu Picchu would be a great example of that. When we look at the, I believe they're called the Nazca lines that are carved, marked in the ground that can only be viewed and seen from the sky. And so we speculate as to why an ancient culture, an ancient civilization, often we associate ancient with primitive. And I think that is a bit of a misnomer. We have very highly developed societies, highly developed civilizations that existed in prehistoric times, pre-documented times that operated at a higher frequency than we do today, who had a deeper understanding of sacred math, sacred geometry. Again, we tend to lend these modern fascinations, if you will, to ancient cultures and civilizations like Kemet, Meru, Atlantis would be three really great examples of those sacred grounds, sacred locations that have now been sort of elevated to the realm of myth and legend. These sites, clearly being fashioned by human hands, offer a remarkable and distinctive opportunity for us to create and recreate distinguishing geographic features that hold sacred energy and thus become sacred space for us. But because of metaphysical beliefs associated with many of these sites, the spectacular and often unimaginable ramifications are still yet to be fully understood. Many societies, many cultures have passed away and have moved on into the other or the next dimension, if you will, without us still fully grasping and understanding the magnitude of their power and their mystery and why it matters to us, why it even has any application to who and what we are today and how we live today as humanity. Such sites typically achieve status as sacred in the minds of devotees because of historical significance, particularly in regard to mythology or folklore. We've talked in previous shows about archetype and the power of an archetype. The speaking of the practice of remembrance, the practice of storytelling around a symbol, a person, a place, or thing over time elevates to the level of what we call an archetype, becomes sort of a power, a deity unto itself. And sites associated with ancient gods or goddesses carry special significance, even for today in a more modern, present day context. Remarkable trees, abundant water sources. We love Iyami Tree in Congo Square. We honor and acknowledge the power of the river, the Mississippi River here. And other singular features of Earth can be imbued with meaning, with power, with energy, either received through folklore or local tradition, or even established by contemporary modern day practice and groups of people who feel drawn to find or create spiritual meaning through relationship with a particular feature of our natural world or our man-made, human-created natural world, if you will. I love Audubon Park, which I find to be a very well-balanced mix of man-made, man-created, and then nature. The presence of the river, the presence of the vegetation that grows in that area, in that region, the presence of the man-created bird sanctuary, but man couldn't create the birds that exist there, and the seeds that they carry and bring that have created a lush, tropical, rainforest-like environment here in our so-called modern contemporary city of New Orleans, Louisiana. So the empowerment is a conscious decision. It's something that we activate from within. I almost created a new word there. I wanted to say innovate, or it's sort of like innovate, but to inner, do something, I-N-N-E-R, to do something first from within, a connection to spirit, a personal connection to nature, a personal connection to the sacred ground, the sacred space that's being created. And I've done a lot of teaching over the last 2 or 3 days about sacred space, cleaning houses, helping people to purify space before they move in, before they build a business. In some of the properties that I've gone into in the last few days. And so the creation of sacred space, as you've often heard me say at the beginning of the show, is necessary to all of our endeavors. We create sacred space first from within, first in our minds, first in our hearts, first in our imaginations, first in the quiet spaces and the very loud, cluttered spaces that exist within our own consciousness. In addition to such physical forms of sacred space, spirituals often include metaphysical or imaginary forms of sacred space as well. A well-tried and proven homework assignment that I often give many of my students and my godchildren is the creation of a sacred space through transcendental meditation. It's when you breathe and become conscious of your breath and feel your thoughts bring peace to the random traffic that floods our consciousness. And then you remove yourself first physically from our random routine everyday existence. Some elevate to the air, others go into watery places, others carve out a space in their minds, in the woods, in the forest, in the mountains, in the trees, and there you create sacred space. It can be a temple, it can be round, it can be square, it can be star-shaped. It should be not only two-dimensional in consciousness, but also three-dimensional. We must cognize the world, the reality, the result-oriented experience that we wish to have demonstrated in our waking realities. So in that space, we can create a crystalline structure, a glass structure, a structure made completely of gold or any source material that your imagination can choose. I tend to go for what's practical when I'm creating these sacred spaces in consciousness, because I want to create that which ultimately becomes my reality, which ultimately becomes part of my everyday waking experience. Pagans often include imaginary sacred spaces that relate directly to not only nature, but the power and the deity, the source of the power that they are trying to create and recreate within their own realities. These include mythic concepts of the other world, ritually created sacral space, such as the Wiccan world between the worlds, or even the concept of sacred space as found within each individual's own capacity for inner vision and inter-visualization. Transcendental meditation and all of its misunderstanding and fear, it's really about the capacity for creating inner visualization. Concepts of the other world can take many forms. Non-material realms may exist above, below, or interwoven with the material world. Remember the show that we did about a week ago about the multi-dimensional reality that we exist in, that science is able to map mathematically, that we exist in order to create this reality, this waking existence that we all share. And so within some of those dimensional spaces, there is the ability to create that which is comparable to our real world experience, but then there's also dimensional spaces there where we can draw from that don't compare, don't synchronize directly to our waking reality. They can exist in a variety of metaphorical locations, such as over or beneath the ocean, through the mist. The mist realm is one of my favorite spirit realms, or within the so-called hollow hills and the hollow earth concept. The other world can be a place of ineffable beauty and wonder, but also a realm fraught with danger and challenge. And it can be populated with gods, goddesses, ancestors, heroes, heroines, as well as spirits, elves, fairies, and other entities seen as intimately connected with nature. Sometimes human beings can visit otherworldly realms, although myths, but exist and operate within them by entering the dimensional doorway that we've talked about in previous shows. One of those dimensional doorways is accessible to all humanity through the dream state. So they're in another dimensional reality. Our dreams are very real, very true. And that's why we wake up with such a shaken, real sense of the reality of what we see in some of our dreams, because indeed in another reality, in another space, in another dimension, those things are very... So some of you have created and recreated and are reminded and are remembering trauma. Your monsters come through in the dreams. Your demons come through in the dreams. People, places, and things that we still have not exorcised, that we still have not challenged in the spirit realm. See, because we can move away from something. We can move away from a person, place, or thing and physically remove our connection to that. But that still exists in the spirit realm and thus in other dimensional spaces if we don't concerted effort to break that tie. Ceremonies that break binds, that break ties, that cleanse, that purify, that cut cords are very common in spirituality and religion, paganism, witchcraft, various spirit practices, also various religious practices. Baptism is supposed to be a ceremony of cutting ties, cleansing, doing away with, washing away with, being reborn, if you will, recreated, if you will. And some of you, my more practical listeners, have a real hard time grasping baptism and different people in water and why and how is that even important? How and why is that even relative? And there is a physical action that takes place, a physical cleanse, if you will, that takes place. But what's most real, what's most evident, exists in the spirit realm. The spirit realm is more real, more tangible, more evident, more effective and effective and all that we say or do than anything that we think is real in the physical realm. Our physical realm is an illusion of our eyes and our brain and many optical scientific mysteries, but also of the spirit realm itself. For indeed, we exist multidimensionally. We exist in at least 11 as documented by quantum metaphysics in order for us to exist and have this reality that we occupy each and every day. Length, width, height, depth, time, and then time space. And then there's linear time, and then there's universal time and cosmic time or atomic time so we can not only walk in and out of what we believe, what we think, what we understand, but we can also choose to walk in and out of how we experience and how life is manifest with us and for us each and every day. I have many clients, incarcerated clients, clients who exist in other countries, other parts of the world who lack resources, clients who are housebound, bedridden, who can't get out of the house. So how then do they operate in the realm of sacred space? I have many clients, more than you can imagine, who are... Some of you have no idea the number of incarcerated brothers and sisters who are with us every day in social media, Facebook, Twitter. You know, we complain about, oh, they don't have a picture, and you don't see much of their life activity in their photos and their videos, and all they do is reshare and repost. And some of those people are hiding and are, you know, sort of living vicariously through other people and are not really in touch with who they are, so they don't always post organically and authentically like I do or many of you do. But some of those people are incarcerated and cannot tell you that they're incarcerated, cannot show you the inside of where they're living, cannot have that exposed. In many of the prison system, even having a device, having a cell phone is a felony. It's against the rules. So they have to go through great lengths to have that connection. Now, I'm not here to excuse, you know, the law, excuse them breaking the rules of the circumstance that they're in. But I understand the human need for contact, the human need for socialization, the human need to connect with what's going on with the rest of the world. And so with the advent of technology, so that technology has now, along with many other forms of contraband, has found their way into the prison system. So there are many incarcerated people who are absorbing your posts, who are absorbing what you're writing about and talking about and sharing about and posting about. I behoove you to use that time and that space with great responsibility. It's not just your children watching, your neighbors watching, your coworkers watching, but people who are in desperate need. Me and fellow practitioner, Black Witch Chronicles, Lakeisha Harris, discussed this yesterday evening at my viewing party for Be Free to Bounce Back here at the Temple Space about the presence of people crying out for help, crying out for attention, crying out for therapy, crying out for expert assistance in bringing their lives back together, getting their finances together, getting their lives and their love lives and their thoughts together. But many of you don't do it directly. And we try to reduce not just that as a issue, but many of the issues that we face in society down to its lowest common denominator. And we came up with something that I've been saying for years, that we've lost our skills at socialization. People don't know how to befriend anymore. People don't know how to pick up a phone and call and say, hey, how you doing? And have a real organic, authentic conversation anymore. And all this technology and these gadgets should make reaching out easier. Let me tell you, I talk to Africa every day, Nigeria, Ghana, many people in UK, in Paris, in London, Canada. I talk to people all over the world every single day. I connect with people in real world terms every single day. It was my challenge, my Kwanzaa challenge to you for 2017. And some of you still haven't done it, can't do it, are resistant to it, have blocks set up about it. And it's crazy because we live in an existence where people are posting every day how bored they are, how lonely they are, how absent of a social life they have. Their desire for a partner, their desire for a mate, their desire for a love interest, their desire for people who think like them. Even you conscious folk want to get together and create revolution, and build grassroots organizations and communities. But you got to be able to talk to people and communicate to people in real world terms. It's not just about talking at people and being a leader in social media, where you post at me and you speak at me and you post your feel good post at me and you share this, you know, 911 urgent emergency information that I absolutely must know and make go viral. But when I try and talk to you directly, you either don't, can't, or have a block up to that. And that is the issue. But also that is the answer to many of the quandaries that we find ourselves in. I'm so quickly running out of time, as I always do on this show. But I know some of you personally, I know some of you. I beg you, and refine that joy, that personality, that happiness, that ability to socialize. Many of us, when we were younger, could talk to anybody, could hold a conversation with anybody, could find joy and laughter in any moment. Recreate that. Recreate the reality that you want to have, that you want to bring into your present and carry into your future. No longer continue to feed the past. No longer continue to feed what's not working. No longer continue to feed what you don't have. No longer continue to feed what people have done and what they did to you and what they won't do and what they won't apologize for and what they won't take responsibility for. Take empowerment for you today, for here and now, in this divine moment in time space. I assure you, result-oriented expression, demonstration, manifestation. I will be forward again tomorrow at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Block Talk Radio with more revolutionary Voodoo, New Orleans Voodoo secrets and references.